Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
If I were to ask each of you, who are you? How would you respond? If I gave you 1 minute to say who you are, what would you say? You're a child of God? That takes less than 1 minute. How else would you fill it? What else would you say who you are? You're a woman? Yes? I'm an upfront person. You have the Holy Spirit? Is that you have the Holy Spirit? Is that what you said, Chris? Yep. Who are you?
I'm an auntie.
You're an auntie?
And a grandma.
And a grandma. Okay, Sue knows who she is. What about everyone else? Who are you?
A sinner.
A sinner. Mm, yes. A great grandma. And a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven? Somebody who cannot function without God? Yes. How much of what you have said or what you thought, for those that didn't call out, or maybe those online, is there any responses coming through online for people to say who they are? Yeah, that's all right. How much of what you said or thought was in relation to what you do? Or a title, so wife, mother, woman, sister, daughter, I would say officer, maybe I would, in previous life I would have said teacher. You know, how much of that, of who we are, do we think of those sorts of things? You know, the titles or the things, or I'm a sewer or I'm a cook. None of those things apply to me, by the way. You know, how much of those things rely upon what our profession is or what our skills or what our abilities are? Now, what if I were to ask you, who are you really? And gave you 1 minute. Who are you really? How would that change what you said? Would you get more vulnerable? Would you get more real? You're Jesus' brother, yeah. So when we take the mask off, who are we really? Behind closed doors, who are we really? You know, when we get right down to it, sometimes we see stuff we don't want to see about ourselves. Who are you when no one else is looking? I would say I'm a pretty impatient person. I am... emotional person. I am deeply flawed. I am probably stubborn, yes. I can be stubborn, yes. So, you know, you change the words and add the word really, we kind of get a bit more truthful about ourselves, don't we? Who or what influences your sense of who you are? We can influence, yes, who we are, but what else influences our understanding of who we are? God can influence. But what other things, before God kind of even gets into our life, what other things influence our understanding of who we are? Other people, yes. And particularly in our upbringing, that it's our family, our mum and our dad, significant people along our walk, sometimes teachers, where we're born, our backgrounds, our ethnicities, our culture, our siblings, Social media, big one these days, particularly for our young people. They are identifying themselves according to what something on a post is saying about them. Media in general, for those that maybe have not are not part of social media now, but media in general. Sometimes what we listen to on the radio, what we see on the TV, what we watch in the newspaper affects what we think about ourselves. Our abilities or our disabilities can actually influence what we think and who we are. Our appearance, our environment, sometimes our faith backgrounds, whether we've had trauma, whether we've had opportunities, whether we've had good experiences, bad experiences, and everything in between. So many things can actually influence how we think about who we are. Whose voice or what are we listening to about who you are? What are your core beliefs about who you are? Anyone heard this term core beliefs before? A couple of people. It's actually a psychological term, which we're going to get to in a moment. But I've come across this website called edenscounseling.com, and I'm going to read their description of what core beliefs are and their understanding. So bear with me. It says, core beliefs are deeply buried assumptions that guide our behaviour, how we see ourselves and perceive situations. These beliefs impact how we feel, how we relate to others, and guide our success and satisfaction with life and relationships. Core beliefs are just that. They're core to our identity. They can feel as a deeply entwined concept such as our gender or our name. And if you think about, like, my name is Zoe, and if I suddenly thought, well, I might just change my name to Jill, and I say, you need to call me Jill, it would feel really weird because my name is deeply ingrained in who I am. That's what a core belief is something deeply ingrained into who I am and what I believe. So it says the same is true with our beliefs. We've worn them for so long that adopting new belief doesn't feel right and that it can take time to change. Our core beliefs feel like truths and can be challenging to alter. But let me tell you, not all core beliefs are true. We have core beliefs about ourselves that are lies. And today we're going to look at it in a little bit about how we have these things that we believe about ourselves that are deeply untrue. But these core beliefs, they're responsible for our continual insecurity and our self-doubt, our low moods and constant desire for external validation and approval. They can lead to ineffective behavioural patterns such as people-pleasing and perfectionism. We also notice events and situations that confirm our core beliefs and ignore those that go against our core beliefs. So basically, when you have a core belief, you will see everything in the world according to that core belief. And anything that goes against that core belief, you will try and prove wrong, because you are trying to prove that core belief right. It says in this same website, beliefs are our internal walls that have no doors and restrict us from experiencing new possibilities in life. It's important to remember that core beliefs are not facts. Beliefs are nothing but thoughts that we affirm to ourselves over and over and which we take to be true. A belief consists of a very simple thought such as, life is hard. That can be a core belief. Or it can be a complex array of thoughts and statements such as in a belief system. And I tell you, my core beliefs, when I first went through them, I realized how complex my brain is. You know, one thought led to another thought, which led to another thought, which had this whole complex array of beliefs that I had about myself that were deeply untrue. But they can be challenged. And it continues, whether you are aware of it or not, you are always affirming what you believe. In fact, if you really listen to yourself, you are continually making a case for the rightness of your beliefs, even when those beliefs are detrimental to your happiness and well-being. That's how ingrained they are. They're self-sabotaging. It's like you have this inner lawyer and it's continually justifying and being right while making every other belief wrong. The way to keep a belief system going is continually affirm it and justify it and never question it. And there are beliefs that we have about ourselves that we've never questioned, never been bold enough to say, hang on, that's not true. Beliefs are nothing more than thoughts that over time we come to believe as true. However, they are often developed based on our early experiences. And things that happen when we are young have a lasting impact, but they do not have to have a forever impact. Because it says, which for many people don't reflect what is actually true. Have you ever heard of ants? The movie? Or the little things that you squash? No, it actually stands for something. ANTS. Automatic negative thoughts. So yes, people, we need to squash the ants. Not the little creatures outside, though. We need to squash the automatic negative thoughts. So basically, in a bit of a nutshell, they're related to core beliefs. So, you know, we might have an early experience where someone has criticized or compared us to someone else. And I'm sure we can all have something that we've had said to us or spoken over us that may come to mind. And then we develop this unhelpful assumption or this core belief. Maybe it's I'm inferior. My worth depends on what others think of me. And then, you know, as we get older, so that's what's planted early on in our life and it starts this core belief. And then we have like a critical incident later in life. Maybe it's a relationship breakup. And because we've got this underlying thing, I'm inferior or my worth depends on what others think of me, you know, we get these ants that pop into our head. So we have a relationship breakup and these ants or these cognitive distortions come into our head and our immediate thinking is, it's all my fault. I'll be alone forever. I'm stupid. Something is wrong with me. Anybody have had those thoughts before? They randomly pop in. But do you know that they're actually not so random? They actually stem from that core belief that was developed long ago. And these automatic negative thoughts are almost like the tentacles that come out from those core beliefs. And then we might develop symptoms. We might socially withdraw. We might lose interest in life. We might procrastinate. We become sad or depressed or anxious or guilty, or we lose sleep, we lose appetite, and the list goes on. And all because something may have been spoken to us very early on that we've allowed to become a core belief. And then when things go haywire, it creates all these ants that come into my head. And then life changes. It says, if you've ever felt stuck in a pattern that you keep repeating, a behavior you want to change, or feelings and perceptions of others, then you've likely got a core belief running the show. For example, if you have a core belief that the world is not safe and I cannot trust others, then you might feel anxious, have difficulty forming or maintaining relationships, and have habits or behaviours or become perfectionist or obsessive thinking, poor boundaries, compulsive behaviours. And you might not ever notice that connection. You might just think, I'm an anxious person. And you've never made that connection to that this is actually because of a core belief that I believe the world is not safe and I cannot trust others. And it's deeply embedded. You might just think, I'm anxious and I don't know why. And that becomes the lens in which you view life. And just like it said before, you will only see the world through that lens. If you see something good happening or somebody being kind to you, your brain almost won't see that happening. You will only see the bad that's happening. And believe me, the world has everything to show us that it's not safe at the moment. We see wars on TV. We hear of people getting mugged in the shopping centres. We hear of car accidents. We hear so many things to validate. And our mind will only see those things and will constantly be reaffirming to us that core belief. When you know what this underlying core belief, when you develop this ability to see what your core belief is, you can challenge it. You can challenge the truth of that belief and you can actually change that core belief. Believe it or not, every ant that comes into your mind, you do not have to believe it. Amen? Amen. If you're, if you have this automatic negative thought that I am worthless or I'm inferior, you don't actually have to believe it. Did you know that? I think some of us have actually got to the point where it's just so common that we just go, it's there. It's who I am. But no, it is not. We do not have to believe every single ant that comes into our minds. You can challenge the belief and remind yourself that you are safe right now. Especially if that thought is, you know, the world is unsafe. Well, I can assure you right here in this moment, you are all safe. You are safe right now. And that will conquer the start of an unhealthy core belief. You can shift your focus from the anxiety to what action needs to be taken and get in the present moment. Anxiety, we've done a bit of a Bible study these last few weeks about anxiety, and we've talked about how anxiety kind of either tries to push us into the future or drag us back to the past. The one thing it's not very good at is trying to keep you in the present moment, because reality is in this present moment, you are safe. You are here. You are alive. You are well. So I want to give you a couple of strategies and how we can replace these unhealthy core beliefs. Now, the first place we need to start is we need to identify the core belief. And this is the bit that's the hardest part, because sometimes we hear these ants. We hear the automatic negative thoughts and we're not sure where they actually come from. What is the underlying thing? And sometimes it may be something from a long time ago that we haven't even recognized that is what we actually are believing about ourselves. And it takes a bit of time to actually dig deep, because you can't, this isn't a surface thing, and this ain't going to happen in 5 minutes in this room. This is something you need to go home and kind of dig deep into. What is the core belief? And I've got some helpful things that I want to give out after for those that want copies of things. And one of them is a sheet that has different things about what we might believe about ourselves that could be unhelpful, things that we might believe about other people, and things that we might believe about life. So it has things that, you know, your core belief might be, I don't deserve love, or I'm not lovable, or I'm not important, or I'm not creative, or I must please others to be worthy. I'm not capable. My opinions aren't wanted. Like, these are the underlying things. So, but you need to search for yourself. What is it that you have as your core belief? Because our automatic negative thoughts are not necessarily what the core belief is. They're just like the outshoots or the output from that. You need to dig deeper into where has it come from. So in God. And we're going to get into some more of that in a moment. But the second thing is you need to, once you've know what your core belief is, the second thing you need to do is you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. So once you've worked out what your core belief is, you need to ask yourself, is it to my advantage to maintain this particular belief? So if your core belief is I don't deserve love, then you need to ask yourself, is it to my advantage that I keep this belief? You know, is it going to do me any good having this core belief that I don't deserve love? The other question you need to ask, is this really true and valid? Is it really true that I don't deserve love? You might think it in some realm because someone's told you that, but dig deeper. Do you really believe that you don't deserve love? And the other thing is, what are the advantages or disadvantages of believing this? You know, the advantage of believing that I don't deserve love, well, I don't think there is an advantage. And the disadvantage is we're missing out on love opportunities, aren't we? We miss opportunities to feel good about ourselves, to feel like we are worthwhile. And then the third step is we need to reverse or replace that belief. So maybe your core belief is, I must hide my feelings. To reverse it, we would say, it's okay to express my true feelings. Maybe your core belief is, I'm unlovable. And we need to replace it with, I am worthy of love. We need to flip the script because core beliefs become like a scratched record. And I know many of you in the room will know what records are. But for our young people, records are these big, gigantic, circular things that we used to play music on a very long time ago. And it has like little, oh, I suppose, tracks, lines. And you need a needle, and it's not to stab yourself with, people. It's not to sew with. It's actually to play the songs. This is way before Spotify, way before iTunes, way before CDs, way before cassette tapes where you wound up all the tape and got it everywhere. Vinyl. Actually, young people probably know what vinyl is now because a lot of artists are actually going back old school and developing vinyl records. A scratched record used to play the same thing over and over because the needle got stuck. That's what a core belief is, a scratched record. My mum used to call me a scratched record because I used to go on and on and on. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Anyone have children like that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Every child has gone through this. Every mother or parent has gone through scratch records. But that's what your core belief is. We've told ourselves over and over, I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable. And everything we've looked at in the world has reinforced that. I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable. And at some point we've got to take the needle off and put it on a new track. And say, I'm worthy of love, I'm worthy of love, I'm worthy of love. What are your core beliefs? Are you even aware that you have them? For me, I wasn't even aware. It's probably only a couple of years ago I did work on core beliefs. Do any of them require challenging? Do you have some unhelpful core beliefs that you need to say, stop, that's enough, that's not true? Have you got false ones that you need to say and reverse and replace? So core beliefs are a very common discussion in the field of psychology. And for those that maybe have done personal or group sessions or worked with a psychologist or a counsellor or a therapist, they may have heard this term core beliefs before. But I truly believe that God can be the greatest psychologist and counsellor. He is always available. There are no waiting lists. There is no need to book an appointment. There are no fees or Medicare rebates. He doesn't have any biases. There is no time limit. No ding, sorry, hours up. Next time, come back next week. There are no time limits. If only all our core beliefs were what God has for us. God tells us so many important truths that we miss, and we allow others and the world to speak into before God does. If only we listen to what God says about us instead of anyone and everyone else. What would our lives be like if all our ants were replaced with God's word? Have a think about that for a moment. If every thought, a negative thought that you had in your mind was replaced with God's word, how different would your life be? What if all our core beliefs were true and were what God has to say about us? I think we would radically transform a generation. We would transform parenting. We would transform individuals. We would transform communities. We would all live much more at peace in harmony with each other if what we believed about ourselves were true. These are some of the things, and I've got a list of a few here, but these are only some of the things that God says about us. He says we are loved eternally. We are wonderfully made. We are more than conquerors. We are chosen. We are his special possession. We are his handiwork. We are children of God. We are created in his image. We are a new creation. We are healed by his stripes. We are lavished in God's love. Not just loved, we are lavished in his love. We cannot be separated from his love. We are armed with strength. We are forgiven. We are never alone. We are complete. We are protected. We are a light. And a flick back to Mark's sermon a few weeks ago, he talked about salt and light. We're the salt of the earth. We are seated in heavenly places. What an image to have. We are seated in heavenly places. We have the mind of Christ. Whew, this would have saved me a lot of trouble if I knew this 10 years ago. If I knew I had the mind of Christ back then, I could have saved myself a lot of depression and anxiety. We have access to God the Father. We have a home in heaven. We have peace with God. We can overcome the enemy. Do you believe that? If we believe that, our lives would be truly remarkable. We cannot be taken out of God's hand. We are not condemned, and we are set free. That's only some. There are so many things that God says. What false core belief can you replace with the truth of God's word today? I want to give you just a couple. If your core belief is that you are unlovable, I want you to change it to, I am loved by God. And just one of the scriptures that talks about this is from 1 John 3:1. And it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. God would not lavish love on something that was unlovable. That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's a defined purpose. That is what we are. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is what you might be. This is what you could be. This is what you are. If your core belief is that you are ugly, I want you to change it to, I am wonderfully made. And one of the scriptures that speaks about this is Psalm 139, verse 14, that says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Basically, God doesn't make junk. When you, you know, there's a whole debate between whether you're an Apple or a Samsung person. But if you accuse or if you condemn the created item, you actually are insulting the creator. So if I say apples are terrible, whether they are or not, you're actually insulting the creator of that thing. Yeah. But when we insult God's creation, we're insulting God himself by saying, you know, we're ugly, we're worthless, we're terrible. God doesn't make junk. God has made us wonderfully. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do we know that full well? Sometimes we say these things, but our core belief kind of tells us something different. Do we believe we are wonderfully made? If your core belief is that you will always be alone, change it to God is always with me. And Joshua 1 verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It doesn't say the Lord.